Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, Holiday Edition, Episode 53. Today we're reading Chapter 4 of the book, Giving Thanks for Thanksgiving's Past. No matter how wonderful your Thanksgiving tradition has been, it will come to an end. You just don't know when, but precious memories will make those Thanksgivings past last forever, and new ones can begin. By Daniel White III, with his wife Marika White. Chapter 4. Granny Leaks. "Go, Granny! Go, Granny!" Leonardo cheered. The family laughed and joined in. Mama, or Granny Leaks, as her grandchildren affectionately called her, smiled as they cheered her on. If you wanted to see a woman who carried herself with class and dignity and encouraged the same from everyone around her, Granny Leaks was that kind of woman. Granny Leaks came to live with the family nearly a year before, 10 months to be exact. It started with a frantic phone call at 1:34 a.m. "David, this is Granny Leaks. The ambulance is on its way to get Gramps. I happened to wake up and I reached over to check on him as I did not hear him snoring. He wasn't breathing. Celestina and I are on our way over," David said. When they reached Granny Leaks' house, the ambulance was backing out the driveway. David exchanged some quick words with the EMT, while Celestina hurried into the house to find her mother sitting on the couch, clasping both her hands. Tears stained her cheeks. Celestina sat on the couch next to her mother. Placing her arm around her, she said, "Mama, it's going to be okay. He'll pull through." "Let's head for the hospital," David said, sticking his head through the front door. "They're taking him to St. Joseph's Hospital." The three of them hurried to the car. "He almost went on home to be with the Lord. I almost lost him. The love of my life," Granny Leaks said. Some more tears fell. Celestina, who had been sitting in the back seat with her mother, placed a reassuring arm around her shoulders and embraced her tightly. "You know I'm a light sleeper, but I'll sleep straight through the night unless I'm disturbed. But tonight, for some reason, I woke up. I reached over to touch Gramps, just to make sure he was okay, and I noticed he wasn't breathing. His skin also felt clammy and cold. I called 911. When the EMT came, they used the defibrillator to shock his heart back to beating. They put an oxygen mask on him, as well as an IV in his arm, and then rushed off. He barely managed to whisper, 'I love you, I'll be back.' He was so weak, I could hardly hear him." Celestina tightened her arms around her mother. "Okay, Mama, don't you worry about a thing. He's going to pull through like he always does." Celestina was not sure who she was trying to console, her mother or herself. "He's been having some health issues lately, but all of that comes with old age, and we just have to accept it. I know it's taking him longer to accept that he's not young anymore, and he can't do like he used to. He's been having heart problems, but these past months he seemed to be doing better. On his last visit to the doctor, he was given a clean bill of health." "What did he do today, well, yesterday, that may have brought this on? Anything strenuous?" David asked. "The usual. We took our early morning walk, had breakfast, he read the paper, he made his weekly visit to the boys' club. He then stopped by the children's hospital and clowned around with the children. He has to stay healthy for those children's sake," Granny Leaks said. Her voice cracked. David pulled up into the hospital's visitor parking lot. "Quite a few cars are here for this time of the morning," he said, as he helped his mother-in-law and wife out of the car. The three hurried to the front desk to inquire of Gramps' whereabouts. They hurried to the second floor, the CCU, Coronary Care Unit. Gramps was in surgery. From what the nurse at the desk shared with them, His heart almost went dead. It was some time before they were able to talk with the doctor. "It's a miracle he's still with us," Dr. Larson said. The EMT said when they got to him, he was gone. They did not detect any heartbeat. He's still in critical condition and will remain in CCU for a couple of days on complete bed rest. The anesthesia has not quite worn off. Normally, no visitors are allowed, but if you folks can promise me you won't say one word to him, I'll let one of you stop by his room and just touch him. I'm allowing that because I believe there is healing power in the human touch. He smiled and then added, as long as there are no problems between the two. CCU, Critical Care Unit. Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." May God bless you until the next time.